The Edinburgh Football Podcast is brought to you in association with Nicholson Joinery Limited.
Hello and welcome to the Edinburgh Football Podcast, the podcast specialising in Edinburgh football. From the Premiership to the Lone League, we've got it covered. Callum, how are you doing this week?
Much, much better, I feel like. Honestly, so much better than I did last week. But, 100% better with you, mate.
Yeah, you've passed me on the thing you heard last week.
Yeah!
There you are. Callum, tonight's agenda, and for our listeners, it will be Hibs, Hearts, Edinburgh City, and then on to our Lone League teams at the end. We've also got our first Player of the Month of the season.
Because we forgot last month,
so it's this August-September combo, and then our predictioned league to finish, where I'm no longer interested because I'm third.
You've hit the highlights in the years.
Peaked early. Okay, Cal, so we'll start with Hibernian. A good point, some would say. 1-1, obviously the first team to take points of Celtic this season. And probably deserved, I thought maybe deserved in terms of...
100% deserved.
Yeah, just I thought deserved a point by the commitment the team showed, and just put some, I mean, put some right some wrongs, should I say.
You're sitting here last week and Hibs are in some state, go through to Kilmarnock on the Wednesday night, 0-0, get through on pens, some result, you know, was that the turning point? I'm not sure. Still a little bit of trepidation going into the Celtic game, but you know, Hibs stood up. I thought, you know, seven of Heckenbottom's signings started, and you know they were fantastic. I think from back to front, Hibs stood up to Celtic, and yeah, a lot of people will look at certain decisions in the second half, but for me, I thought Hibs defended magnificently, and were well worthy of a point.
Isn't it funny how maybe a week, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, we're looking at a Hibernian side and we're going, oh, Heckenbottom, can he pick a player? Six of our seven subs are his new signings and there's only two of them starting. And then, what did you say there? Sorry, six.
Seven start
against Celtic, and then we're talking how great they all are.
Well, I mean, the thing is, look, this could easily be a flash in the pan or it could be the start of something. It means the square root of absolutely nothing if Hibs do not follow that performance up with something on Saturday away at Aberdeen. Realistically, for, you know, as well as they've done in getting through to the semi-final of the Betfred and taking a point off Celtic, it still means nothing unless you follow that up. You look at the league table, Hibs are still sitting second bottom. There's still a lot of work to go in, but if that performance can be replicated week in, week out, Hibs will be on for a very good season. Mm. And that's what you've got to hope for.
Is it just as simple, Callum, as personnel were good, or is it simple as the formation was just more suited to the players?
Yeah, I think he finally got players into a formation that suited them.
Yep.
It was sort of a mixture of 4-1-4-1 or 4-2-3-1.
Yep.
The boy Hallberg that's come in, played the last few games, he's very, very good.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
getting better every game, isn't he?
Putting Stevie Mallon out onto the right hand side and allowing Scott Allen to play infield, it sorts that problem, I still think, because Allen sometimes drifts out wide, you know. But it means that both of them can be accommodated in the team. I thought Vela putting his best performance in a Hibs shirt.
Agreed.
And, you know, the old guard, you know, Paul Hanlon, Lewis Stevenson, Stephen Whitaker coming off the bench, I thought all of them were fantastic. I mean, Stephen Whitaker is much maligned by Hibs supporters, you know, throughout the league pretty much. And I thought he came on, I was a little bit worried first 5 minutes, he needs time to settle, get into the game.
Especially centre half guard.
He was magnificent. When Edward is getting taken off because he's getting no change out of Steve Whitaker, I thought, you know, hats off to the big man.
He was rolling back the years.
You know, so I think all over the park, Hibs are very strong. Look, but the biggest one for me was Christian Deutsch, who I haven't been convinced by, but my God, he stood up. And, you know, the boy Julian at the back for Celtic, £7 million player, and Christoph Big Doige gave him an absolute tanking. You know, the boy Julian, he had to, Celtic actually had to go to two men on Doige for kickoff and everything because he was absolutely terrorising that back four.
It's something that, you know, I don't want to say I've been standing by him, but it's something I have said a number of times, Gareth, that it's just that
100%, aye.
Don't think him as the goal scorer, just see him as somebody that can bring other players into the game, be awkward, win headers, and like you say, Callum, I mean, you look at Celtic centre-halves, they're big lads, aren't they? And if he's up there, a presence, and he's at least making it awkward for them, then that for me is a positive, and is someone that has to start.
Yeah, I think he did really well, and, you know, long may it continue.
Yeah.
I think every single one of those Hibs players now has put in a performance that is now the standard.
Yes.
And that has to be maintained. I think another shout out has to go to Chris Maxwell. I think he came out and said that he'd be open to a Scotland call up, which was, you know, I think
he's played three games, I think
correctly ridiculed, but, you know, the next game up is Celtic at home, you're thinking, alright, okay, I'm sure the story writer has already had the opening paragraph written, open to a Scotland call-up, no thank you. But he, you know, he's brilliant off his line. His handling is absolutely perfect. So, for me, you know, I was laughing when he said it, but now I'm almost of the opinion that could do worse.
You're right. The last player I wanted to mention, because he was almost chucked straight in from nowhere, Callum, was James at right back. You know, Naismith completely bombed out the squad. Do you know anything? I don't know, is there something that's come out of why he wasn't in the squad?
I'm not sure, but, you know, Tom James, I'm fairly certain, got the sponsors man of the match.
Yeah.
Don't quite know how, but, you know, I just think that, sorry, I've just realised that I've been calling Christian Doige Christopher Doige. See, when I was saying Christopher, I was like, that doesn't sound right. That's how much research goes into this.
James.
Tom James came in, he got the sponsors man of the match, and, you know, he was solid. Solid throughout.
Yeah, I think we're looking back at Naismith, he'd come in and stopped the gap, but perhaps now James is back, maybe that's a more long term.
100%,
We mentioned referees. I didn't see the first half, I've seen the second half, Calm, so I've seen the decisions that the Celtic fans are unhappy about, and rightly so. I think certainly, from what I can remember, that the one that Hanlon puts in is a penalty, isn't it, on Christie? But
for me, neither of them. I think Christie's dived trying to buy it, and the Bower one, when they say either of them with penalties,
I've not really.
And I will go back to John Guidetti diving at Tynecastle to get a penalty. You know, there's a long history of Celtic players diving to get awarded penalties and free kicks, etc. So, you know, it's in their DNA.
All I was going to raise from a Hibs point of view, Cam, was probably more the first half for Kevin Clancy, and, you know, the push from and Cham, if you think about
it's
that.
It's not a push. It's not a push. You don't push someone in the face.
Yeah, it's a red card.
It's a straight red. I think he absolutely loses the plot. I was disappointed in the sports scene that they didn't go to task, because I can imagine if that was any other club that had done that, the roles had been reversed. If it was Scott Allen in the face of Ryan Christie, you know, 100%, you know, that's being talked about as a red card. Actually, it probably would have been given, but for me, he has three goes at Vela. He runs
barge,
off,
yeah,
runs,
yeah,
runs
yeah.
off to get the ball, barges into him for no reason. Vela stands there, goes, "What are you doing?" He has two goes, and then he raises his hands to his face. Now, in the rule book, it says hitting or attempting to hit. And, well, there's no attempt. He has caught him. It's a straight red card. The fact that he's not been cited is an absolute abomination. And
what's the difference between that? I'm just thinking top of my head of similar incidents like that, and straight away I'm thinking Ryan Kent last season. You know, the pictures make it look like a punch. It wasn't. When you watch it back, it is that outstretched push high. I see no difference.
Absolutely none. No difference. He was pulled up, but from he realistically, referee has to send him off. And what I loved was the passion from Paul Heckenbottom, because
that was my next point.
That's something that's been sort of lobbied at him as a negative, because he's not as passionate as Neil Lennon was, but you know, he's absolutely spot on when he was asked in his post-match interview, what did you think about Celtic's penalties? Means nothing because they should have been playing with 10 men. And he's absolutely spot on there. They should have been playing with 10 men. Yeah. And the thing is, it's Hibs this week, but it happens time and time again. Mm. And, you know, you've got your Celtic fans sitting in their houses with their tinfoil hats on going, oh, there's a conspiracy against us. And we, you know, they're out to stop the 10. It's an absolute disgrace, Scottish referees. It's absolutely laughable that there's grown men who have this opinion. I have seen so many things that have been retweeted on Twitter that are like an open letter to all referees. Mr. Maxwell, how can you let this happen? Or the fact that they actually think that operations stop the 10. They've won every single league game this season. The second they drop points, boom. They're writing letters. Realistically, if Celtic had taken the chances, you know, they didn't get many clear-cut ones. But if they'd taken one or two chances, like they have done at Easter Road countless times in the past, they would have won that game. Mm. All right? Looking for a scapegoat, it's an absolute disgrace. So they can sit there and try and think up more conspiracy theories. But in reality, it was Hibs who were cheated by the referee on Saturday.
Heckenbottom's reactions, if I give my own opinion, I think it just shows that he cares. I don't think he was doing it to make a point that he's under pressure and that's coming out because he's feeling under pressure. I think it's just showing that he does care. I think another point people might say is a lot of fans might look at Heckenbottom and think that, oh, he is quite calm on the sideline. That thing you're saying is quite calm, maybe too calm, yeah, too nice. But for me, I liked it. I liked that he was disappointed. I liked that he was angry at decisions. I think it shows that he cares, and it shows that he isn't enjoying where Hibs are. Of course, he's not going to enjoy where Hibs are at this moment in time, but it's showing that he doesn't like where Hibs are at this moment in time.
He knows that he's now got a job on his hands. And, you know, I think that if Hibs take the performance that they put in on Saturday up north this weekend, then Hibs will be coming back down the road with 3 points.
Yeah, I liked it. No, I liked the passion he was showing, and you know, good for him. Might just say people might just go off his back and go, actually, this guy does care. It is hurting him. Mm-hmm. He's not happy where he is, and I think he knows that. And I think I was happy that he showed a bit of passion. Of course, you know, kicking the bottle, etc., and then getting sent to the stand isn't what you want. But actually, having a bit of passion there, I think that was a good thing. Like you say, it's Aberdeen away this weekend, and it's not always been a pleasant trip for Hibs, has it, really?
No, I mean, 100% it's a tough game, but Aberdeen aren't exactly in great shakes themselves at this moment in time. They've been poor. Fans are very much calling for McInnes to go. So, you know, I think it's a good time to play them, and I think Hibs can go up there and win.
I think it's starting to get towards the end for I think McInnes has probably taken Aberdeen as far as he can, and it's getting
In all honesty, they are nowhere near as big as they think they are. Their crowds are disgraceful for a one team city, and you know, they are pretty much an irrelevance in Scottish football other than a few years in the 80s. So this myth that they deserve to be up there is absolutely nonsense. The four biggest clubs in Scotland are in the semi-final of the semi-finals of the Betfred Cup. That's your four biggest clubs, and you know, Aberdeen are just, you know, they've not won the Scottish Cup in 29 years. I mean, how can you be a big club and have not won the Scottish Cup for that long? That's an embarrassment. Mm.
Says the Hibs fans can now say that after 3 years.
if you explain the joke, it sort of ruins it for people, but alright.
Okay, right, moving on to Hearts Callum, and well, does this just cancel out a away win at Easter Road?
It's weird. It's you know, we're sitting here last week, and Hearts and Hibs, you know, Hearts get the result in Derby. It's brilliant, on a massive high. They follow that up with the League Cup win over Aberdeen, you're thinking, yes, this is it. Build on it, and then all of a sudden, absolutely rocketing back down to earth with that 0-0 draw at St Mirren. Now, yeah, it's almost gone, you know, from such a high, and then to... Now, obviously, a couple of injuries in the game, but I'm getting tired of talking about injuries and Hearts. You know, it just... Every single week, there's something else, and... You know, I know that, I mean, Craig Halkett, what a miss, because he's been the best player this season, but it's a game that Hearts should have had enough to go and win that game, and it's a disappointing result, you know, and it's I feel like after the week Hearts have had, if someone had offered, you know, Craig Levein 4 points in a semi-final, he'd have gone, yeah, no, I'd take that, take a point at Easter Road, because the thing is, the fans don't want like to back up a derby win with a disappointing performance against him.
Well, here's one for you, Cal. Right, so okay, you take the past week as a Hearts fan, or a Hearts player. A deflected winner, Easter Road. A last minute equaliser and a penalty shootout away from not being in a semi final, and a 0-0 draw to St Mirren. It could quite easily be another
horrendous week. But I mean, that's football, and those are the breaks. So you know, there's weeks where the complete opposite has happened and the Hearts have gone through a shocker. But I think, you know, for so much of this week, building up, I mean, another fantastic away support, because the thing is,
it's always going to happen.
Football fans in Edinburgh are right up there with being so fickle. I mean, yeah. Hibs, the attendance has dropped, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a decent number at Aberdeen next week. Whereas with Hearts, you had, you know, dwindling, struggling, and then all of a sudden, and there's a big crowd at whatever St Mirren call their ground these days. And, you know, the best chances are falling to Christoph Berra from corners. You know, I think he's unlucky, and then Stevie McLean has to win it. He has to win it. And but we've always said that's Stephen McLean's problem. He does not score enough goals.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's something we said 12 months ago, Cal.
When he first signed.
Yeah.
That we looked at his goals to game ratio, and it's not as impressive as it could be. Obviously, he gets the goal midweek against Aberdeen. I thought his celebration was interesting because he used to play for Aberdeen, and I was like...
Something in that, I think.
But then, you know, to be fair...
He's been a lot of celebrations.
He loves a celebration.
Interesting celebration.
He really does love a...
Controversial celebration.
But I think it's frustrating. It is really frustrating, because if Hearts had won, you know, they'd be sitting on 8 points, pushing into that top six, pushing up on Aberdeen and Motherwell, who are sitting, you know, third and fourth. And it's... But again, it's just... You know, it's a bit blah, you know, like meh from Hearts. And, you know, like...
Two step forward, one step back, sort of thing.
Don't go back to this absolute pish nonsense that we've been talking about all season. Do not make the derby result a flash in the pan and an absolute... Oh, it's, you know, it's the classic Craig Levein, oh, I need a result, I'll get one just now, and then I'll just set the team up to be nonsense again. And, you know, Hearts, a couple of claims for penalties, I didn't think either of them were penalties, if I'm honest. I think Machino's one, you can see that the way that the other Hearts players didn't really appeal for it. I think that said a lot. And the other one's one, I thought that was a really poor attempt at a dive. But for me, Hearts should have had enough to go through there and win. And it's a big game on Saturday.
Huge.
You know, because I don't really know. Kilmarnock are up and down. They're...
Do you want my personal opinion on this game this weekend? I think this weekend we'll really know if Hearts have turned a corner or not. because I think they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a Kilmarnock side who are 2 points above them, you've got a chance to leapfrog them. A Kilmarnock side that aren't great this year, I think they'll be lucky to be top six. So personally,
they will not be top six.
Lucky to get there. Some good players in their team, yes, mm-hmm. but for me, this weekend we'll know if Hearts have turned the corner.
I think the biggest worry is that Osmond Sow, however brutal he's been, the best football of his career he played at Tynecastle, so he might absolutely relish the fact that he's going back there. But I mean, I think Kilmarnock have very similar players to Hearts in that sort of middle of the park. The sort of power,
yeah.
They're very similar. I mean, they're nowhere near as good as your Glenn Whelans and they're nowhere near that sort of level.
But any more suited to Scottish football?
Well, I mean, Glenn Whelans taking to it like a duck to water. So
Demure?
I think he came off injured. So it's, I think for me, the way that Hearts played against Aberdeen, they came flying out the traps, very attacking, unlucky to fall behind, and I mean, it's a couple of absolute very reckless tackles for the two penalties that they conceded. Mm-hmm. I think they've got to bring that intensity at the start of the game because, let's be honest, Kilmarnock are not in a good place. You know, Alessio, they've had a couple of good results, but they went out the cup to Hibs, they've backed that up with a 0-0 draw, and
That's 2-0 draws in a row then, Cal.
He's still trying to escape the absolute horror show of Connors Quay. So for me, I think if Hearts start well, I think that they should be winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the command that they faced last season. And I know that Kelly have been Hearts' bogey team for a good few years.
But you know what I'm trying to say though, Cal? We'll really know now if Hearts have turned the corner.
Yeah, 100%. If Hearts come out the traps and win, I think that goes for both Hibs and Hearts, because I think if both of them come out and get results at the weekend there, then you're like, here we go. Now we're starting to see. But if it's two shocking results, you know, Hearts draw 0-0 with Kilmarnock and Hibs get beat like 2-0 up at Pittodrie, then we're
back
sitting back here, and absolutely. It's, here we go, manager must go. I'm still not convinced by Heckenbottom, but I think that what I would say about the Hibs performance is that every single one of the players was playing for him. So I think you've got to look at this game at Hearts at home, and I think that Levine still has the dressing room, and you've got to just hope that
The last little point I want to raise about injuries, and people keep saying, and it's something I've not thought about actually, which is, I've not thought about this, is people keep saying, what's happening at Rickett? Something must be happening at training, except for all these injuries to happen. Has anybody looked at the history? I know, I've seen one tweet about Halkett's never been injured in the 3 years he was at Livingston, right? That may be true or not. But the point I want to say is, what was Haring's injury rate like in Austria? Has Stephen Naismith been the fittest every game for his whole career? I don't think he has.
Stephen Naismith has not been, fit. I mean, when he was at Norwich, he had a couple of...
This is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, realistically, I don't think... If he had been fully fit, I don't think Hearts would have got him on loan when they did, originally, for that 6 months. I don't think that would have happened.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Have
they signed player... Demure, I'm pretty sure he was injured for that season at Cardiff or in the Premier League.
Yeah, he only played, like, three or four games, did he not?
This is what I'm trying to say. So have they just signed players
that are
with a history of injuries?
That are injury prone. Perhaps. Because the thing is, apparently, at the start of this season or last season, they looked into where all these injuries were, and they commissioned some sort of independent inquiry to see where all these injuries are coming from, and there was no correlation between Rickerton and games, except there wasn't anything that really stood out to. So, maybe these guys are unfortunately just injury prone, Berra's kicking on in age. Not a surprise he gets a little bit. Same with Naismith. John Shooter had a couple of bad ones at, Dundee United.
Have they the signing players that are chocolate?
Unfortunately, it's the way things go. Sometimes you bring a player. I mean, look at Ryan Gold. You know, Hibs signed him last season, knowing full well that he had a track record of being injured, and as it proved, he only played a handful of games, if that.
Yep.
And that's your sort of. Mm-hmm. But if you know that these guys, so I think when.
That's something someone needs to look at. Yeah, it takes the time to actually go, actually, aye, we've just signed players. Like, and that's maybe why we've got them, because...
And then, I think a problem could have been last year with the way Hearts were going is some players were risked too early to come back because of the struggles that Hearts were having last year. And I do think that some players were rushed back. And that's maybe just having a little knock-on effect this year.
They possibly can. Okay. Right, moving on to Edinburgh City. And, well, I think a lot of people, well, we, not a lot of people, we did, predicted a really high scoring win.
I thought that they would sort of blow Queen's Park away.
Yeah, the way they were playing, the way Queen's Park were going into it. But it was tight. But they've held on for a 2-1, Callum, and it's another really important 3 points. And they increase that gap between them and the rest.
Yeah, I mean, the top three in League Two are away at this moment in time. What I think it's 9 points separate third and fourth.
Yeah.
Which at this stage of the season is almost ridiculous. So, I think it's a really, really good league to be in this year. I thought, you know, City, there was pressure on them this year. They've certainly answered that so far. The signings that have come in. But it's more importantly, guys that have stepped up. I think Scott Shepherd, a lot last season, we looked at and thought there should be more.
Yep.
There should be more. And I think he's been brilliant so far this season. He's really stepped up in Blair Henderson's absence with his injury. So he's getting goals, assists, he's leading that line well, and I think that's part of the reason that City are going great guns, you know.
I think also as well, Cam, something that we mentioned, I think, did Edinburgh City become predictable last season?
Well, you certainly tried to make that point on several occasions.
Maybe a little bit predictable, there was at the end of the day, it was working, it was effective, so why wouldn't you be? But I think they've mixed it up this week, this season. And I think maybe that's why Shep's chipping in the goals.
I think you look at it and it's goals from all over the park.
Absolutely.
That they're getting, which is so important, because last year you had Blair Henderson on 365 and the rest of them just had, you know, twos and threes. That was a massive problem. When Blair Henderson didn't play, City struggled. Mm-hmm. So now you've got Alec Harris, what you see on about 7 or 8 goals in all competitions. Mm. I think you've got Shepherd on 3. You've got Matt Lair's chipped in with 2. Craig Thompson's got a couple. You know, all around the park, you've got boys that are putting it in the back of the net. And it's, you know, it's so important.
Yeah, Alan Smith as well. Yeah, Impact's gone off the bench.
Yeah, he's come off the bench twice and bagged goals late on. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret the fact that we're big fans of Alan Smith on this show. You know, I think we've always thought very, very good player, and, you know, to have that sort of sub coming off the bench. But I mean, Alan Smith could easily start a game, but at this moment in time, he's coming off the bench. That impact, you know what you're getting out of him.
First goal's good, eh?
Yeah, I think the way that Craig Thompson is able to judge how the centre half is going to react to his fellow centre half ducking, and the ball just rebounding perfectly for Shepherd, and, you know, he keeps his cool.
Yeah, Harris's goal.
I know. You chucked it there.
Sorry, it's the other way around. Sorry, yes, Harris's goal.
But I've started, it's all finished.
Okay.
And Shepherd's on point, and he just, you know, composing himself, finishes. Yes, Alec Harris's goal was the better one. Good turn of pace, good feet, gets in, slots it past the keeper, and that's a very, very good goal. Defending for the Queen's Park goal, it's not brilliant to see. It's sort of a little bit of and then so I think City won't have been happy to lose that goal, But I, if I'm honest, I don't think they were in danger of losing the game. I think that they had more than enough. And, you know, looking ahead to this weekend, it's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you were saying there, Callum, that the gap between third and fourth is 9 points. Well, something's got to give this weekend, Callum.
Uh-huh.
You know, Cowdenbeath at Edinburgh City, and I have to say, I thought Cowdenbeath would be a lot better this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Boland's an experienced manager at this level. He was never going to, given time, have a team that are going to be fighting to stay up in League Two.
No.
Over time, he would get a team together to go and push playoffs and even higher than that, Callum. But for me, to see Cowdenbeath 5 wins in a row, and it has probably taken quite a few by surprise, Callum. Yeah. That'll be a team with a lot of confidence.
It's a lot of confidence because, as we mentioned last week, you've got three teams in the league that have not lost, that not dropped points at home. So Cowdenbeath are one of them. They've beaten Stirling Albion 1-0, Annan 3-1, Brechin 2-1, and Albion Rovers 1-0. Now, the thing is, they went up to Cove, and it was a last-minute Declan Glasgow that won it for Cove in a 3-2 win. Now, Declan Glass, I think, has scored about 4 absolute worldies this year. So, you know, him popping up in the last minute, that shows how good they are. The last two away games, 3-0 back-to-back wins at Stenney and Queen's Park. You know, Cowdenbeath, 5 in a row, absolutely flying. The ridiculous thing is, you rewind 2 years, right? This game is still as big, but it's at the bottom of the table and these two are scrapping for their lives.
I remember it. I remember being there, midweek game, through it at Central Park. We were down there, they were down there. We fell 1-0 down, 1-0 behind, sorry. And then we get a Dougie Gear penalty, of course.
Shock.
We do.
Shock.
And then Josh Walker pops up really late on. I think it was late January into February. Horrible night, but...
Is it not always a horrible night?
But how important were those 3 points going towards the season? Cam, you're bang on.
It's massive.
Cowdenbeath, of course, apparently shoot away from not even being in the league.
That's it. I think they've... You know, whereas Edinburgh City stormed at the traps last year and have turned themselves into a powerhouse in this league, Cowdenbeath have built it slowly over the last year and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, they thoroughly deserve to be where they are. Mm-hmm. This is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Massive game. Honestly, you know, for anyone who takes part in the Prediction League, what a couple of games we've got this weekend. Because this is huge. I think, you know, speaking to a few City boys, you know, one came out with the motto, well, you know, this is the first time they'll lose at home.
Cove are rubbing their hands, aren't they, at this game this weekend?
Cove will be delighted, and I think Cove will be more than happy if it's a draw.
Does it go Scottish Cup? Is it international break, Scottish Cup weekend? I can't quite work it out.
I don't think City have a game next week.
Yeah, so
it's international break, but City don't have a game. I'm not entirely sure why just yet, but then it's back to the at home in the Scottish. So
there's a wee gap coming up here.
It is a little bit of a gap.
It's important that you finish that with 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like I say, it's massive. If City can go up there and win, that is an absolute statement of intent. That is huge. That is them laying down a marker and going, you know what, Cove, we're going to fight you for every single point in this season. Mm. And, you know, look.
Yeah, just check there, Cam. I think it must be international break. So this is the last game before a little layoff.
Well, no, it is an international break next week. But that's
League
never
two
affected.
Not involved. League 2 not involved, obviously.
But it's
is
never
it
affected.
The
League
Challenge
two.
Cup, perhaps?
That's what I was more thinking.
Yeah.
But I think they can go there and win.
Mm.
You know?
Isn't it amazing though? I mean, there would have been people that would have doubted the pyramid. Would it work? Would it not? And etc. And
well, I think some clubs were probably annoyed that there was a pyramid and they weren't just parachuted in, you know, like before they did.
Yeah. But I'm saying there'd be people say, it won't work. And then when Brora don't beat Montrose the first year, and then very quickly.
But then was it not more a case of Brora didn't really want to go up?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That was the rumour that went around.
Perhaps. But what I'm saying now, though, Callum, you see...
The benefits.
Cove in the league. You see Edinburgh City in the league for the past sort of 4 years now. And two of them are in the top
teams. City have gone about their business and, you know, spent money shrewdly and sort of built. Cove have decided to throw that book out the window and just go big as soon as they can. But realistically, I think we're in for a cracker in Fife on
Agreed.
On Saturday. Agreed.
So yeah, just a little drop there on Cowdenbeath. Like you say, 5 wins in a row, Calm, 12 goals in that time, only 2 against, 3 clean sheets in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a toughie.
It's going to be, of course, it's going to be a tough game. They're not the soft touch that they were a couple of years back, and I think that City will have to be at their best to win this. This is, although it is very early on in the season, to be winning leagues, this falls into the must-not-lose category.
Agreed.
And, well, sorry, playoffs, it's must-not-lose. To win the league, I think it falls into the must-win category. And the thing is with City, that's who they are now. That's what the club is. So,
well, you're expecting Cove to probably pick up 3 points. If they pick up 3 points, Callum, and you were to lose the game, well, you then maybe are falling within that one result away.
Yeah.
And we said they've got to...
Now you're 5. Yeah, they've got to stay.
Agreed. Although, Cove away to Stenny, new manager.
Perhaps
so
a bounce.
They might be a different...
Perhaps a bounce.
...kettle of fish, but we'll see. Okay, Callum. Right, moving on to our Lowland League sides. And, well, I think we'll start with Spartans, Callum. A shambles of a weekend for them. You've got to feel, you know, they go up the Friday night, you prepare as well as you can. And to rub salt on the wounds on Saturday, you wake up, and I was texting Subo. Subo said, there's no danger this game's on. It is horrendous weather. He sent me a video of them on the way up to Deverin Vale. The fact of the matter is, they had to make the extra an hour and a half drive from Aberdeen to Deverin Vale in the morning.
Oh, that's
because the game hadn't been called off yet.
That's shocking.
And then they've had to drive an hour and a half back the way to then get home. So, shambles. Then for the replay, Callum, to be arranged for the Monday. Boys,
I know.
Boys that are self-employed, not a problem. But some boys to walk into work on a Monday morning and say, by the way, I need to get away early today.
Yeah, I think
total shambles. Total shambles. And to make things even worse, it couldn't be put to the Wednesday, I believe, because Deverin Vale had a game this Friday night.
Deverin Vale do have a game this Friday night.
Yeah. But boo-hoo. Move the league game.
I know. I think that I would have just awarded the title to Spartans, but then I wouldn't have got my first correct score of the season. So, no, I think, I can't say any better than what you just said.
It's totally deserved on that basis alone.
It's an absolute shambles. I think I was worried that Spartans would have to go back up there on the Monday night and, you know, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff as well, you know, not a 7:45. And I think I was worried that, you know, the working day might just play a part, and that is an outstanding result. And, you know, it's very rare that, you know, I like dip my hat to a team, but I think that is one of the best results that we've seen in their time doing the podcast, purely with the circumstances surrounding it. And I think it was fantastic. And to win it in the manner that Spartans did, it's exactly what you're after.
I've spoke to Subo and he says that the boys were absolutely dead on their feet, and when Corbett gets sent off with
absolute straight red.
Yeah, but we'll speak about that. But Subo said in his head, he's like, I don't know if, I mean, this is coming from him, he's like, kind of thinking, oh no. You know, because you're thinking extra time, if you can hold the extra time here, but we're down to 10. But because I mean, if Subo's feeling leggy, then God knows what other boys are feeling. But then, you know, the pocket rocket steps up
the
and
Pilton Pelly.
Get out. But you know, okay, it's not great defending, it's not great goalkeeping, but
you know what? Them's the breaks, and he gets there, he's in the right place. I mean, for me, it's Aaron Murrow's touch.
Agreed.
In the build up, he plucks that out of the air.
Both goals.
On what is a shocking pitch, shocking surface, gets enough on the through pole for Nicky Reid to get there and then finish. And, you know, just the way it was, I think it was Ovi on Twitter who put it the best, to say, boys having to go in on Monday to get the day off on Monday. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's, you know, I think if I was good enough, there's not a chance in hell I would have had the time off there.
I know.
But
deserved. And I think we've mentioned Murrell, you mentioned Burrell there, but the second goal, Callum, but he takes his first goal well as well.
Takes his first goal. I mean, he's in the box, he's getting goals, he's, you know, really just...
Maybe a player just needed minutes.
Yeah, I've been impressed every time I've seen him. You know, I couldn't speak highly enough of him after the Civil game, and I think that now you're really starting to see how good he is, and it's digs him out. I mean, the equaliser, does it take a wee nick?
I think it does, yeah. It's meant to have, yeah.
Because it's not like Carswell to get beat like that. So
it does take a deflection the way through.
I think it's just brilliant. Yeah. Great result.
I think by all accounts as well, speaking to Subo there, the surname, it escapes me, but Jake, the guy that got in from Dundee United.
Davidson,
that, I was going to say Donaldson, but sorry, that's the goalkeeper, the other Dundee United one. That's Thibault's goalie, but by all accounts, Jake steps in at centre-half. I don't know if that's his most comfortable position, I think he's more right-back. However, Subo said he was very, very good on Monday night. So
that's what you need yeah. boys to just step up and... That's...
Corbett's red card, I have to say. 100%. It's a red. I was just putting that down to just experience.
I think frustrated, I think, because...
It's a horrible tackle on him.
He is booted 100%, and then another boy comes in for a second go at him, so I can understand the frustration, but, you know, he's still a young laddie. He'll not do that again. Let's move on.
Yeah,
I think that's, you know, he's not that type of player.
No,
you know, let's be honest.
No,
what I would say is I think that Spartan's fourth red card this year. Fourth or fifth. Subo's not had one of them.
Well, he did his best to try and get a Devonville boy sent off, because I know for a fact, I think if Adam goes down holding his ankle, does a couple of rolls on the ground there, I think the tackle on him's maybe a red.
It's a shocker. A shocker at that stage of the game, but I think it was perhaps what was needed for Spartans to step up and just go for it.
And it may be what it did to Devonville, thinking that's us, we'll kick on now, and that's that switch off comes from. And it's funny because I remember, I'm not going to say, sitting here going, aye, of course you did, but when I seen Reid coming off the bench, I thought, oh, this could be the game changer.
Aye.
I know, you can see your face going, aye, of course you did. But no, listen, and you know what, Calum, I know Corbett will now miss the next game, which is frustrating, but I think they've got a nice wee chance here against Queen's Park.
Queen's Park at home. Spartans and the Scottish Cup go hand in hand. You know, every few years they have a very good cup run. It's not the kindest draw. Could have been kinder, but it's not the worst draw in the. So for me, Queen's Park at home, I think there's chance of more success there.
Agreed. This weekend, Calum, it's finally back to league, and I'm looking at already, Calum, and I'm seeing they've got three games on some teams, and you've always been an advocate, Calum, that
it is always better to have points on the board than games in hand.
Thank you. So already, you know, I look at some teams are two, three games behind, Calum. I think they've got Cali Braves this weekend. I think
they've got Edgesport this weekend.
Edgesport, yeah. So who drew 5-5 last night?
I saw like an Edgesport tweet during the week, so I really just didn't like them at this moment in time. you came what I'm like. I just go off on one if someone does something that I don't like. So, Cali Braves are 100% in the bad book. So right now, I mean, I can't say this sentence on air, but you know, that's how I'm feeling. Spartans getting amongst them. We've seen them already this season. If Ross McNeil is handled, I don't think that they've got anything. And I think that Spartans can brush them aside.
The name escapes me. There was a boy centre mid though, I really liked when he came in.
But he came off the bench, and realistically, for a Cali Braves player to influence a game in the middle of the park, he's going to have to be better than Aaron Scott and Ian McFarlane, and I don't think that they've got a player that's better than either of them. So for me, 100% Spartans. And Spartans by a couple of goals.
I think, fair enough point of Cali Braves, I think even before last night, I'd probably have said, I think Cali Braves type of team that they'll be a threat going forward, Ross McNeil. But
Ross
I think
McNeil's
they will.
Dangerous.
But I think they will give you chances at the other end. Because Ember Uni have chances.
They've got the boy that's about 9 foot tall at very tall at the back. So, Ken Watt, Dawson on him. That would be some battle.
But as I said, this is before last night. They've scored 5, conceded 5.
Yeah, well, I think we talk about, you know, we'll go on to speak about Edinburgh Uni shortly, but they've conceded like 28 goals in the league and they're sitting second bottom. Cali Braves have conceded 24. You know, they can easily be got at.
Okay, but finally back to league action for Spartans. They need games in the league.
They need to pick up points in the league. It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, as much as I would like them to win 3 or 4 nil this weekend, 1-0 will do.
Just 3 points. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Right, moving on to Civil Callum, and well, we'll see
they'll be kicking off shortly.
Be kicking off in 50 minutes. They'll just be doing their last parts of their warm up away to Cumbernauld, Callum.
Don't think we can make it.
No, I think we're running out of time now. Last weekend they were away from home against Ember Uni in that little derby there, and well, they very rarely do you get two games that are the same in a year. This time last season they won 3-1 through at Peffermill, yeah. And the same happened this season.
Yeah, although they managed to keep 11 men on the park this time. I think I don't know how many times I need to say it, but Ember Uni, when I wasn't at the game, but if they don't take their chances, you know, they're going to struggle. I think Civil just hit them on the break and deserve to win from what we saw. I think that Cammy Muirhead's very, very...
He's good at that, isn't he?
He's flying under the radar. Not a lot of people are talking about him this year.
Yeah.
But he scores loads of goals. Hodgie, now, I don't know, because every time I'm sitting here going, oh, he's starting to look good, he has an absolute howler the week after. So I'm not going to say anything about him, but I like the boy Shanley up front. I think he will make a big difference for Civil. I think, you know, we're talking about injuries with Hearts, injuries with Civil Service. You know, that's there's
in defence,
good few players missing there.
Yeah,
you know, because I think Sean Turnbull was an absolute standout at the start of the season. And I think that they are missing him. So Colts tonight, Shire on Saturday. For me, 4 points. And I tell you, if Ross Guthrie can somehow get a winner to make it 4-3 in the last minute, because that was one of the best games I've ever seen.
That's actually quite a tough little run, this, isn't it, for Civil? But
we did
it's
say that they were. It's
something
were
we said up in this league, though, Calum, isn't it?
I mean, look, they can go down to Berwick and win, and they can go down to East Kilbride and win. You know, back to back results. So for me, this should be nothing to fear for them. And Shire have been very up and down. Know that they've got a few players. The boy Jordan Tappan at the back, you're a big fan of. Big fan of him. But for me, I think that they can be got at. I think that they're definitely not where they wanted to be at this stage this season.
I think their manager will be under pressure.
100%. I'm surprised he's still in charge.
Well, the money, you know,
The fact that
the statement
they came out and said, oh, we're going to spend loads of money so that we can get up. And like, you look at teams like Kelty, who have spent loads of money but didn't tell anyone they were going to spend loads of money. Look at where Kelty are sitting, look at where Shire are sitting. You know, there's, you know, I've had more than a few goals at Kelty this year, but in terms of doing their business quietly and, you know, putting the results on, doing their talking on the park, streets ahead of where East Dillon are.
Yeah. Just wanted to go back to Muirhead, something that we're saying there, Callum. It's a striker that relaxes in front of goals, isn't he? Because he's had similar goals. The Berwick goals that he got were very similar to the Ember Uni ones.
He knows how to score goals. He just gets it, and then he knows where he's putting it. And he just, it's almost nonchalant the way that he just dinks it past. His finishes on Saturday were almost identical
to the Berwick ones.
You know,
yeah.
No, but like his two goals were almost identical Cardinal to each other.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, I think that He's a big player, and you know, Cammy Muirhead has to play well, because Josh Morris is another great player, and then Ryan Shanley's come in, he'll score goals this season. So Civil, good place, I think, good points this weekend.
I like Shanley because of the fact he was dropping in, wasn't he? He was dropping off the front, dropping it in that little hole, difficult to pick up. And I think that could be key in providing assists for Muirhead, which happened last Saturday. Moving on to Ember Uni, Calum, you've seen them. Obviously, well, we've pretty much spoke about the game against Civil there.
Yeah.
So you went to see them last night, Callum, and is it same old story again?
For me, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Bonnyrigg 4-0, you look at that scoreline and it looks like an absolute pumping, but Masters are their own downfall yet again. I think in the first half there was plenty of endeavour in the Uni's play, but they couldn't really get anything going, didn't really have any chances, but they switch off. You know, Lee Curry, do not give him time and space around the box so that he can ping a ball in. You know, he puts it on the head of the smallest man in the Bonnyrigg team in the middle of the 6-yard box to head home the first. Mm. Second goal, he plants a trademark free kick into the far corner.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this boy play since, I think, Leith Athletic beat us 6-0 in a school game. Sorry, not Leith Athletic, Leith Academy beat us 6-0 in a school game, and he scored 3 free kicks, and it's just like, right. Yeah.
I first joined Leith in 1997.
So I mean, he's been doing it all this good. And then in the second half, they come out better, and then, you know, I could hear the keeper shouting. I was down the other end. Centre half tries to deflects it badly into the path. Bonnyrigg cuts it inside, classic FIFA goal, and it's 3-0, 5 minutes into the second half. But I mean, it's just little things like that. They're up against it. They forced the keeper, I think Weir, in a few good saves. There was one unbelievable clearance off the line. I don't know how, I think it was Scott Gray. Right, Stuart McFarlane has a volley from a corner from about 16 yards, and he catches this unbelievably well. And the wee man on the line jumps up, headers it onto the crossbar and away. I think everyone in attendance was amazed by it. But I mean, for me, Bonnyrigg deserved the 3 points, but Uni, it's the same old story.
Yeah.
They don't take their chances.
And cheap goals.
Which lets them down.
And cheap goals to give away.
Yeah, because I didn't actually see the fourth goal because I was texting you, Pac, about one of your Player of the Month suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you what I thought about it.
The lack of goals is a concern. I know you said not taking chances, but the lack of goals are a real concern.
That's it. They don't have someone that's going to bang in 15-20 goals.
I've seen Abdul Youssef was back in the squad.
He looked better. He started. He came on against Lockheed, started last night, and you know, he's looking fitter, sharper. Looks like he's taking a stretch. So, you know, you've got to remember they are still like young boys. I mean, that's his first year uni last year, so like an 18-year-old lad. So, but I think they need someone to score goals. And what a game this is on Saturday! This is must win. Look how many times I've underlined that there.
Yeah, I mean, Gretna are a team that you could maybe see starting to perhaps take
Absolutely not.
Humphrey's ideas.
No. Rock bottom of the table, 1 point all season. They've lost 9-1. They've lost 10-0. This has to be 3 points. Literally nothing other than a win on Saturday. That's it. I mean, and if it's not a win, I'm putting my Football Manager resume into the board because Dorian's gone.
Oh, Callum, wow. I mean,
I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
But
disgusting conduct. It's just a lack of goals. You know, 5 goals, 10 league games, Calum. That has to change.
It's worrying. Yeah, of course it is. You know, I've been impressed with the guys up top when I've seen them. They're unlucky. You know, keepers pulling off good saves, etc. But they need to find a net. They need to get goals. They need 3 points on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. No questions asked.
Well, moving on to our first Player of the Month of the season. There's been lots of names banded around. Like we say, we kind of forgot to do it in August.
The worst thing, we didn't forget to do it. We were constantly reminding each other, and then I think it got like midway through September, and we went,
that's right. So, lots of people have put down. I've had the opportunity to probably to be in this list, but we've narrowed it down to 4, Callum, I think.
We always do.
So it will go out to the public vote.
The popularity contest.
So it's the Edinburgh Football Podcast Popularity Player of the Month, but at least we give our own suggestions going forward. I think if we start with our first suggestion going through, Callum, who will be in the poll is Halkett at Hearts, Callum. Is it a player that's come and hit the ground running at Hearts, and he makes a real difference in that club?
I think he's been desperately unlucky, because I think if he wasn't injured, he should have received a call up to the Scotland squad. It's at both ends. He is proving so vital to Hearts at this moment in time. I think he's a fantastic acquisition. You know, I think Deke called it right, saying that he would be a big signing, and 100% he had to be in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Second on our list is Izzy McFarland. I think he's
I think he won about the first four man of the matches from Spartans games.
I think he's at least won two since. I think he's on about six man of the matches for Spartans, and that says it all, Cal.
Which is rare, because it's normally yellows he's got more of. But no, again, he's so pivotal to the way that Spartans play, because with him there, it allows your Aaron Scotts, etc., to open up your Maxis to get on the ball and, you know, play. So yeah, he's vital.
Mm-hmm. Third on a list, Callum, is someone that you really put his name in here, was Robbie McIntyre. You've seen Edinburgh City, you were really impressed.
I love it how you're trying to deflect the fact that you're man crush and I'm the one that's put him in. No, look, Robbie McIntyre's had a very, very good start to the season, and I think that, you know, he's been asked to play in different positions, but he's, you know, he's a pivotal part. I know I'm reusing that word, but I think that he's very strong, solid, and deserves his call up at this moment in time.
His call up
to our player of the month competition.
Last, as you said, Callum, there was lots of people that will probably
I've got a few boys written down,
but I think we're going to go with a player that's not only scored goals so far, but has also provided a good number of assists and has put his team in a right good promotion push here, Callum, and it's Alex Harris.
Yeah, I think, look, that signing probably caught a lot of people off guard from the way that his career was going on a downward spiral, but, you know, the fire's been lit again. Edinburgh City, scoring goals, he's assisting. I think that, yeah, he's been flying, and, you know, it'll probably split the City fan vote, but, you know, I think he deserves to be in there. You know, other boys that were mentioned, Scott Shepherd, Paddy Baird, Cameron Muirhead, and Hickey, Aaron Morrell. So, you know, there's been boys that we've kicked about. I think, you know, Sean Turnbull as well. But yeah, I think we've got a good solid four there.
Yeah. So that'll go up. Voting will commence, mm-hmm, and we'll see who is the August, September player of the month for Edinburgh. Well, predictions.
Here we go.
I knew I had a bad week, but I didn't think I'd drop down to third. But
I tell you right now, this is a massive chance, because Ashley's in Thailand right now with Eat, so the signal might not be perfect. So predictions might get delayed, who knows.
Might give her the wrong set of fixtures.
But no, she's opened up a gap at the top now, and we're talking, although Stevie Tate, I think he's got 15 points the last 2 weeks. He's just outside the top three.
What's he on?
36.
No, what's he on?
Oh. We've not got time to joke about it. There's only an hour in this. No, I think he's you know, I think he's had 5 correct scores over the last 2 weeks, so he's absolutely flying.
Fair play to the lad. Right, Callum, we will start Hearts versus Kilmarnock.
I'm going to go 2-1 Hearts.
2-1 Hearts.
2-1 Hearts.
Yeah. 1-0 Hearts.
Oh, I think that's more likely.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Civil. That's because I'm writing that down against an order. Aberdeen versus Hibs.
Kim what? Fuck it. 3-0 Hibs.
Oh, jeez.
That's it. Here we go.
I can't see it.
Hibs are back.
Can't see it. 2-0 Aberdeen.
Oh.
Can't see it.
Right, okay.
Cowdenbeath v City.
Here we go. Cowdenbeath 2, Edinburgh City 4.
Goals.
4-2. There we go.
Yeah, nice.
If that comes in, I get double points, by the way.
Oh, this could be anything, couldn't it?
I know.
Desmond.
Oh, that is your absolute get out clause.
Aye, it's a cop out.
Right.
Shire versus Civil.
I can't see a 4-3 repeat, but I will go 2-1 Civil. 2-1. Give him what? Nah. Shanley to get his first for the club, unless he scores tonight.
I guess you're out. I need to hurry up here.
I know.
1-1. 1-1. Uni v Gretna.
Uni Gretna. Give him what? 4-1 Edinburgh Uni.
Wow. Desmond. And
he's absolutely toilet.
I'm rushing here.
I know you. Oh, I thought you were Scottish.
Spartans v Cali Braves.
Spartans Cali Braves 3-0. 3-0 Spartans. Put these Edusport boys back in their place.
3-0 Spartans. 3-1 Spartans.
Right, okay.
3-1 Spartans. Any shouts? Some
there were a couple of there was a guy having a battle with Shu at the Uni Blenheim game. A lot of shouts that I cannot repeat at the Celtic game. One guy behind me just wow, horrendous things he was saying about certain people.
A battle with the Shu. Can we explore it in 3 seconds?
No. He just couldn't get it back on.
Who won
the Shu?
I've been Andrew.
I've been Callum.
Edinburgh Football Podcast.